you free. Amen? So I've been on a journey in my life. I think we're all on journeys. We're always at different places and at different times. And through all of this, I got to know Holy Spirit. Now, we know Holy Spirit is the third person in the Trinity. He is, in fact, actually God, three in one, God the Father, Jesus Christ, and Holy Spirit. And he's a kind of important person, but my theology around him was quite warped and skewed, mostly based on lack of understanding, lack of knowledge. I didn't know the Bible well enough to really kind of understand exactly who he was, what he was, or what he was for. And I kept trying to put him in a box. So I spent a lot of my life trying to put Holy Spirit in a box, because it's easier to put something you don't understand in a box than it is to try and let it be what it is, right? Can we all see that as probably true even in our own lives? We would rather understand something, specifically something that affects us. We want to know why it affects us, how it affects us. That's why Google is so amazing, isn't it? See, we always have a Google for everything. Well, hold on a second. Why is the garbage come on Tuesday? I'll bet you I can Google it. Right? We want to understand the why of things. Now, the Holy Spirit, we understand quite a bit about him, but there's a lot of him we really don't understand. There's a lot we don't understand. And so here I am, a young man. I'm trying to understand Holy Spirit. My parents are both Pentecostal pastors. You are in a Pentecostal church this morning. But I grew up in a Christian Reformed church, believe it or not. And they gave me a wonderful concept of who Holy Spirit was, and then the Pentecostal just expanded on it. And so I got this wonderful idea and an understanding of who Holy Spirit was. But I always had this thing in the back of my mind, and it was always this, there is more. I just kept feeling this thing in the back of my head, always constantly rolling around like, there's more, there's more, there's more. And I didn't really understand it because I thought I had understood Holy Spirit and I had fit him really nicely into his box and I had put him on his shelf, you know, the Holy Spirit shelf, the one that we go to when we need things. And I thought I had it all figured out. So he was up there. But I just kept getting this thing over and over and over again. There is more. So this morning we're going to talk about there is more. So, for those of you who know, today is Pentecost Sunday. It's an important day in our Christian calendar because we know this is when Holy Spirit poured out on us in power, right? So, it poured out in the early church in Acts 2, and we're going to go through it. So, I'm going to give a little bit of backdrop here because I feel like this is important. As I was studying and I was researching and I was asking God, what do you want to say? He pointed something out very interesting to me, and I think you're going to like it. So I'm going to point this out to you just so you can kind of get a whole understanding of Pentecost Sunday. Because we throw these words out and we're like, I've heard that word before. I don't know what it means. I know it means Holy Spirit. But how is it related to other things? So we're going to try and help you understand its relation to some other things. So let's go back, way back in time. Israel, which is God's chosen people, they were in a land called Egypt, and they were slaves. And there was a feast called Passover, and they smeared a blood of a lamb on their doors, and the angels passed over them. And it was then that the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh of Egypt, decided that, you know what? You slaves aren't worth my time anymore. All of our children have died. Just leave. And then 50 days later, we have Pentecost. Now, here's where it gets interesting. So, Pentecost is actually, it's a Greek word. Shavuot was the original Hebrew word. And most scholars agree Pentecost or Shavuot was when the Torah, so the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, were given to Israel. So, which the Jews was their written law. So, let's go back to Passover. So they're in slavery in Egypt for 400 years, and God gives them physical release. Isn't that amazing? God released them from bondage, physical bondage, and sent them out into the wilderness. Now, 50 days later, they're given the law, and they're actually given spiritual release. And they were given What they believed was the law redeemed the spirit of bondage, idolatry, and immorality. Isn't that amazing? So the law, that's what it was given for them. Now, what makes this so interesting, and most of you are going, I don't really understand how this affects the Holy Spirit quite yet. Well, let me explain something to you. This is where it gets really interesting. So if you can imagine, there's a couple million Jews sitting at the bottom of a mountain, Mount Sinai, and it's Pentecost, it's Shavuot. And God hands them their written law. And it was imperfect. Because man could never uphold that law. It was impossible for us. Our ability was not good enough. We were never good enough to uphold that law. But God gave it to us. And then, in Jeremiah, a couple hundred years later, he says this. God says this through the prophet Jeremiah. The covenant, he first talks about how the covenant I gave to you in Egypt, I'm going to change. He says, the covenant I will make with my people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor to say or what to do to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sin no more. Now here's where it gets really fun and really interesting. So now we go up to what Jesus says. Jesus is John 16. And Jesus says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, Holy Spirit, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. And he will only speak what he hears. And he will tell you what is to come. A little bit fascinating, isn't it? So let's draw some lines of conclusion here. Because this is really fun stuff. God gives Israel spiritual release, but it wasn't adequate. It wasn't enough. And so he starts setting in motion the plan for true spiritual release, who is the Holy Spirit. And so he sets in motion this path through Ezekiel and Jeremiah. He prophesies to his people what's to come. And in Acts, Jesus delivers all truth to them through the Holy Spirit. He says, this is Jesus talking to his disciples, and this is what we're going to be talking about this morning. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for my gift from the Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. They gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? They thought he was going to build it in their time and in their day. And he said to them, this is not for you to know the times and dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After this, he was taken up right before their eyes. We'll go ahead to Acts 2 now. When the day of Pentecost came, Israel sitting in front of Mount Sinai, given spiritual release through the law. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly the sound of a blowing and violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire separate and come to rest on each of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. The one who gives all truth. And they began to speak in other tongues that enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. They all had to come together for these feasts, for three specific feasts. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in utter bewilderment because each one of them heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all of these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is each of them hearing us in our own language? And there's a whole bunch of people in there. A whole bunch of different nations. Cretans and Arabs, we'll skip down to 11 because, we'll say there's names up there. We heard them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Those who accepted this message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. You see, Holy Spirit was sent to reveal truth to you. So you see, Holy Spirit was sent to make you a witness to all nations. Often I think what you and I struggle with is this very simple fact. So let's lay it out here before us. We struggle with what we don't have rather than what we do have. I think we often spend a lot more time when we think about the Holy Spirit saying, "Yeah, but Holy Spirit, I don't have that. I don't have this. I can't do that." I think a lot of our conversation and our attitude towards the Holy Spirit is simply one of upset, anger, jealousy for what he has not yet given us, rather than focusing on what he has already given you. You see, we make our lives and our identities out of what we don't have rather than who we have. How many of us have struggled with, I don't know, the gift of healing? How many of us think, "God, if I see someone in a wheelchair," and we know that God heals, God says that I will heal people today, right? So we look at someone in a wheelchair and we say, "Well, God, I can't do that. I can't call that person out of their wheelchair. I just can't. I've tried and I've embarrassed myself. And now, you know what? Anybody who does it, I don't believe it happens. That person was planted because I've never seen it happen. And because I've never seen it happen, it must not happen." You see, when we take what we don't see and we make it into our theology and we make it into our understanding and we say, "It's got to be that because I've never seen it." Now, how many of us know that just because we've never seen it doesn't mean it's not true? But how hard is it to believe that in the moment? How hard is it to believe Holy Spirit is who he says he is right here in this scripture we just read? Why is it hard for us? Why do we always get that in our heart and in our soul? I would guess it's simply because we're focusing on what we don't have and allowing that to become who we are to the Holy Spirit rather than focusing on what we do have. Now, I want to encourage you guys a little bit here. Because you're not the only one that feels that way. You're not the only person who's ever gone through this. You're not the only person that has contended to God and said, "God, why don't we see your mighty hand of power in our world today? Why doesn't it happen all the time? God, where are you? Holy Spirit, where are you? Everywhere I look, people need your touch, your healing power. Where are you?" And I would say that we've all probably felt that, haven't we? You know the amazing part is? You know where he is? He's in you. He's in you. Holy Spirit rests inside of you. So a lot of the reason that I think that we believe these lies is because simply we are being lied to. So we're going to go back a little bit further to understand what I mean by that. We're going to jump back to Genesis a little bit far, right to the very start. And I'm going to point something out to you here that I hope will help going forward when it comes to being a powerful witness for the Holy Spirit in our community today. It's understanding the tools that are used to be against you so that you can let Jesus take care of those instead of trying to fix them on your own. So we're going to read together. We're going to read. "So now the serpent," this is the fall of man. This is where sin entered the world. "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any of the trees in the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat from the fruit in the trees of the garden, but God did say, you must not eat from the from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it or you will die. Oh, you're not going to die, said the serpent. For God knows that when you eat the fruit, your eyes will be open. And you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Well, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good and pleasing to eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, well, she took some and she ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. So there's three things that happen here. Three things that I believe come into effect in our relationship with Holy Spirit. So in the garden, they had no barrier between them and God. In the garden, they had a perfect relationship with Jesus Christ, Father God, and Holy Spirit. And then three things came into play that changed that. Did God really say that? Doubt. You're not going to die. Disbelief. For God knows when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good from evil. Distrust. See, these three things here are what happens to us to cause us to create new theologies in our life that don't replicate what the Bible has said about who the Holy Spirit is. We allow these little things, doubt, disbelief, and distrust, to then also separate us from other Christian brothers and sisters. You guys ever notice that? You see, because when Jesus came and we believe in Jesus and Christ, we now have an unobstructed connection to God, just like in the Garden of Eden. And do you think the devil changes his tactics? No. They were great then. They were great now. The thing is that it's not our job to fight him. That's God's job. Our job is to focus on Jesus Christ and focus on Holy Spirit. Our job is to focus on the King of the universe. Now, how many of you have had this conversation go on in your head? Someone comes up to you and says, oh, I was praying the other day. You know what I was praying? I pulled into a parking lot and I said, Lord, I need a parking spot right at the front. Jesus, give me a parking spot right at the front. And would you know it? There's a parking spot right beside the door. Hallelujah, praise Jesus. What goes through your head? Doubt, disbelief, and finally distrust. So someone comes to you and they say, you know, I was driving along and I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, slow down. So I slowed down. Okay, so I slowed down. And then all of a sudden, bang, a deer runs out in front of me. And oh, thank the Lord, you saved me. I'm glad I listened to you. What goes through your head? Doubt, disbelief, and distrust. I wonder why that is. Because it's the same tactics he used then, he's using now. We have an unobstructed connection with God, and he wants to create doubt in that connection, he wants to create disbelief in that connection, and he wants to create distrust in that connection, and all of those things, three things, end up forcing Holy Spirit out of our lives. Because he is the power of God inside of us. Isn't that amazing? He is the power and presence of God inside of us. Now, if someone came to you and they said, last week I was in a wheelchair and now I'm not. Would you believe them? A lot of us here probably would. Hands down. What happens if they were lying? Would you still believe them? What if you knew they didn't actually need a wheelchair and they said that to you? You see, we allow other people's experiences, other people who want to take advantage of what God is doing, we allow them to also shape our relationship with Holy Spirit. Because then we start saying, well, it must not happen then. You know, God, why would you let people like that do that? How many of us have had that conversation with God? I know I have. I've asked, Jesus, why? I don't understand. Because doubt, disbelief, and distrust. And this is actually what forces Christians apart as well. is because we have a testimony of all believers, right? Is how we spread the word of Jesus Christ to all nations. These three things are what force us apart and what force apart friendships in Christ, because we actually start to be jealous of what someone else has because we don't have it in our own life and we're asking the Holy Spirit for it. And so we start to doubt what they have and we start to distrust who they are because of what we don't have rather than what we do have. Today we're talking about the fact that there's more. There is more than we can even fathom. There is more God tomorrow than there was today, because I don't even know how that works, but it does. There is more God ahead of us than we've seen behind us. He is going to do greater things ahead of us than we've ever seen behind us. Isn't that amazing? There is more God tomorrow. There is more Holy Spirit in our lives tomorrow than there was yesterday. And the most amazing part of that is we don't have to fight the devil to move forward. We need to allow Jesus to do that for us. So we're going to talk about who the Holy Spirit is. I'm going to go through 1 Corinthians here, because this is an important piece to it. The Holy Spirit came first to be a witness to us, right? So he first came to witness to us through Jesus Christ, so that we could have power in this world and then witness to others. Our primary purpose of having the Holy Spirit in our lives is to share the love of Jesus Christ with those around us. His main goal in us and through us is so that we can show others Jesus' love. He wants to pour forth from us his love, his goodness, his joy, his peace, his patience, all the things he talks about. He wants to flow through us and out from us. And that's what Acts talks about. That's why 3,000 people came to meet Jesus on that day, because there was a power for witness. And they did miracles and signs and wonders that were beyond understanding, so that people could meet face to face with Jesus, a real Jesus, one who died on the cross for us. And Paul says that very clearly here. He says, and so it was with me, brothers and sisters, when I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you with weakness and great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with demonstrations of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. You see, when we know who Holy Spirit is inside of us, and by the way, y'all have Holy Spirit inside of you. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he's inside of you. And he is literally begging to be released. He wants to be let out so that you can be a witness. He wants to make you look good. He wants to make Father God look good. He doesn't want to hurt you. He doesn't want to harm you. He wants to come forth from you like a spring of living water, so that everyone around you knows that they're loved. Because Jesus Christ came to tell you that you are loved and you are amazing and you're worthy. You're worthy of salvation. You're worthy of him dying on the cross. You are so perfect the way you are that God loves you just the way you are. And he wants nothing more than to make you the best version of yourself, the absolute pinnacle version of yourself. And he wants to do that through the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you. You see, because we received the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke in tongues. They were filled with the Holy Spirit to be a witness to the nations, a witness to all people, so that people could understand who Jesus Christ was, because there is more. Because there is more. There was more for them, and it only grew as they aged. And eventually, most of them, most of the writers of the Bible were killed for their faith. Because they understood there was more around the corner. There was another revelation of God around the corner. There was more of who Jesus Christ was around the corner. There was more understanding. And that's through the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us. So who the Holy Spirit is, and these are just a few of them. There's quite a bit more. But he permanently lives within us. He is our teacher. He bears fruit in us. He is our comforter. He equips us with spiritual gifts. He fills us. And finally, he empowers us. I think one of the things that I needed to find in my own life and through my own journey was simply to not look at what other people have and be envious of it. Because it's really easy to do. Because I'll be honest, I'm not the best pastor there is. You could laugh. I'm not the best pastor there is. In fact, I know I'm far from it. But I look at some of these amazing men and women of God who are leading amazing churches, and I'm not going to lie, I feel a little envious. I get a little jealousy rubbing up in me, going, God, why can't I do that? God, why can't that be me? That's actually true scripture. It's a good word. I'll take it. And so we get this thing that's rolling up inside of us, right? How about if we look at someone who sees miracles happen in their lives and we go, oh God, I want to be like that. How about someone who's an effective witness for the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because I think that when we believe in Jesus Christ, our whole hope is to be a witness to others, our lives to be a witness, our hearts to be a witness, our minds, our hands, everything we do to be a witness of who Christ is inside of us. And we look at people doing it effectively and we're like, oh man, I want to do that. And so we start to actually create a list of what we aren't. And we allow that to be our focus. We allow this list of what we're not to be our focus. To be what we focus on of all the things the Holy Spirit hasn't made us to be. Or at least we haven't seen yet. When in reality, those are just yet to come. Those things that we don't have are just yet to come. Focus on what you do have. And here are some truths, right here on the screen, of what you do have. All these things are applicable to every single person here who professes Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You are all of these. Isn't that amazing? I bet you some of you didn't know your list was so long. I didn't. Sometimes I feel my list is only one or two items long. But in reality, we have all of these things inside of us through the power of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit that now indwells in us and permanently lives inside of us. And because he permanently lives inside of us, his job and his role is to reveal all scripture to us. And he teaches us. And as he reveals scripture to us, he actually starts to develop fruit within us that we can actually hand to other people. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when it doesn't go well, and we don't do a good job at giving the gospel to somebody else, he's there to pick up the pieces and tell you that you're doing an amazing job and that he loves you and that he's proud of you. And then he continues to equip you with spiritual gifts as you draw closer to him. And then he fills you to be an effective witness, and he empowers you to do the ministry of God today. Because there's more. There is more Holy Spirit for us than we can ever imagine. And this is not a beat you over the head of what you don't have. I want to encourage you today that you are at a turning point. You're at a turning point. Every day you wake, you're at a turning point where the Holy Spirit can well up inside you for an increase in your life. Every moment is a turning point to increase your relationship with Jesus Christ. Every moment is a turning point, because there is more God than we will ever get to know in this life. There is more. I look at the writers, the people in Acts, and I see men and women who are hungry after the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're hungry after whatever God gave them. And that's what set them apart, is their hunger. And that was their turning point. So I'll leave a couple things with you, because we're going to do a little something after here. I'm going to leave this with you. Are you hungry enough to turn? Face Holy Spirit and ask for more. Because it's got to come from you. Are you hungry enough to turn, face Holy Spirit, and ask Him for more? Because He wants to give you more. He wants to pour out on you. He wants to bless you. And He wants to empower you to do the gospel, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to Campbell River, to the regional district, to Vancouver Island, and to Canada, and beyond to the world. He wants to use you for what is for the next best chapter of the church. Isn't that amazing? He wants to use you individually, you specifically. So we're going to do a little something first. So one of the things that I think is very important for us is, you can take a stretch here, you know, give a little shake, shimmy, shake, just no dancing, right? No laughing today, it's all right. So we're going to just take a second, we're going to pray. We're specifically going to be praying for one thing. We're going to be praying off these lies over your life. We're going to be praying off these lies that the enemy has placed in your heart and your mind to try and steal away what God wants to do inside of you. Because the truth is, you are, Scripture has clearly said, you are a child of God if you believe in Jesus Christ. The old is dead, the new has come. You're no longer a slave to sin, you are a servant to God. These are truths. You are no longer these things when you believe in Jesus Christ. But we can be affected by what was, even though it's not our identity anymore. So we're just going to take a second, we're going to pray. And I encourage you to pray with me. You know, in this specific situation, I'm going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. But if there's other areas in your life that you know, you're believing a lie about that situation, I want to encourage you to speak these words in truth against that lie. So if you feel comfortable, I encourage you to close your eyes. Holy Spirit, we just ask you to break off the lies in my belief. Break off the lies of who I think you are. And allow truth to prevail. Holy Spirit, I ask you to release me from this bondage of false belief. And I receive the truth of who you are. I receive the truth that I am a child of God. I receive the truth that Jesus died for my sin. I receive the truth that you've come to empower me, that you've come to set me free, that you've come to empower me, that you have come so that I can be a witness to the nations through your power, not my own. I accept the truth that you are in me and you are leading me. And I ask you to guide me. I ask you to lead me. And I give you my heart. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. See, one of the most amazing things that happened with these men and women who experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2 is that it led to the church that you're now sitting in today. You see, their power to witness was so great and so powerful, it caused a movement that spread across the world. And the gospel of Jesus Christ came here to Campbell River, of all places. It came all the way from Israel, Jerusalem, and it made its way all the way here to Campbell River. And we now sit in a church that is based on these truths because of what those men and women were willing to do through the power of the Holy Spirit. So how cool is it that you have that same Spirit in you today that they had then? Isn't that fantastic? Oh, God is good. I'm going to invite the rest of the worship team back up. And I just want to encourage you guys to just take a second and just reflect on what God is doing in your life, what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life, because there's more for you. There's a greater anointing in your lives. There's more. He wants to empower you so greatly. I'm going to say it a lot because I really mean it. He wants to outflow his blessing upon you because he is a good God. And because he promised he would. So I just encourage you to receive that promise today. Bless you guys. I invite you to stand. Mm-hmm.